fires, identify true hunger, defining hunger. The crux of this entire book is the proper understanding of hunger. To understand hunger, you have to properly define it. Hunger is the physical need for fuel. It's something that comes in cycles. You're never hungry all the time. Hunger is also something that we often confuse with appetite. Appetite is your mental desire for food. You can have an appetite all the time. If you come back to work after your lunch break and someone brings in donuts, you might eat one. That's not hunger, that's appetite. Most people never know their true hunger because they don't let themselves get hungry. The goal with intermittent fasting is to let yourself get hungry. We want to be excited about getting hungry. When you're truly hungry, you know exactly what your body is craving and what you want to eat. On the flip side, when you're not hungry, a friend can ask you what you're in the mood for and you have to decide. That opens the door to unnecessary eating. When you eat according to true hunger, you're not eating when the clock tells you to. There's no more, it's 12 o'clock, that's lunchtime. It takes about a week to figure out true hunger. For some people, it's because they've never heard their stomachs growl, and they've gotten so heavy that they could probably go without eating for days. Hunger can also be confused with dehydration. You can think you're really hungry when you're actually thirsty. Staying hydrated will help you learn your hunger. You should only ever eat at a level 3 or below. You don't eat because the clock says it's lunchtime and everyone else is going out to eat. You wait until your stomach growls and your body is physically hungry for food. Here's a perfect example of thin eating. One of my favorite desserts is coffee crumb cake. One of my friends knows that I love this, so she made a homemade cake just for me and brought it to the office. The way that I used to be, I would have eaten that cake just so I wouldn't hurt her feelings. The new me doesn't do that. That is so sweet of you to make a coffee crumb cake for me, new me says. But I'm not physically hungry right now, so I'm going to save this for later. I'm sure I'll love it, and I'll text you as soon as I eat it and tell you how much I do. She might press me to try it, but I'm going to stand firm.
Psalm 63:5, NLT. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy.
The hunger scale. Never eat past 4 on the hunger scale. 0. Hungry, hungry, hippo, hungry. Starving, ravenous, weak, grouchy. All you can think about is what to eat and how you can get it. You may get a headache, struggle to concentrate, or get hangry. Hungry and angry. 1. Stomach is growling. Empty stomach. You can physically hear your stomach growling and feel an empty sensation. It's important that you feel both sensations because your stomach can growl for other non-hunger reasons like digestion. Be sure that it's growling because it's empty. Everything sounds good to eat at this point of hunger. 2. Hungry. You're starting to think about food and certain things sound good to you. You're deciding what your body is craving. 3. Not hungry, not full. Neutral. You sense that there is some food in your stomach and you're at peace. Your stomach feels comfortable. 4. Satisfied or full. Comfortably full. You might want to eat more, but you shouldn't. 5. Stuffed. Uncomfortably full. You're getting tired because your body is using all of its energy to digest food. You may want to take a nap or need to unbuckle your belt. You feel as if you've overeaten. Don't eat your first meal of the day until your stomach growls.
1 Corinthians 9:27, NLT. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should.
Wait for your stomach to be empty. When I asked the majority of people when they ate on the hunger scale, I would say 70% of thin eaters ate when their stomach was growling, level 1. But 30% said they ate at a level 2 because they didn't like to let their hunger get to a point that would make them eat too much. The key is to get your stomach to where it's fully empty. A small percentage of people said even when they were hungry, they didn't hear their stomachs growl, but the majority of the women I interviewed did hear it growl. A lot of times, people who struggle with their weight have a hard time knowing when they are hungry, so the growling is a good indicator of when they are physically hungry, not just mentally hungry. It's like a fuel gauge on a car. Your body will let you know when it's time to eat the same way a car does when it's on E for empty. The drop in blood sugar that occurs when you're truly hungry sends a message to your stomach to produce that empty growling sensation. I hear people all the time comparing their hunger to the gas tank on their car, but the better analogy is if your tank was completely full of gas, and then you took your car to get more gas, it would start spurting out everywhere and make a huge mess. And no logical person would do that. And that's what thin eaters say. Why would I go put more food in when it's already full? But people who keep putting food in their tanks justify somehow eating when they are full. I never eat like this. My aunt would make Iranian food, and every time she'd make it, I would always overeat. I justify it by saying I can't cook kebab like this or rice this good. I only eat this every couple of months. I might as well overeat. It's a holiday. I've been good all week. Even though I'm not hungry, it's healthy. I can have 5 slices of pizza because I'm going to the gym tonight. I hate to waste this food. It's expensive. That's the biggest thing I learned about thin eaters. They never eat before that stomach growl, unlike emotional eaters who eat for any reason at all. When you want to eat before you're truly hungry, that's the time to quote your scriptures. You have to learn to eat when you're physiologically hungry. Your body is hungry, and not when you're psychologically hungry. Your emotions are hungry. Listen to the interview with my friend Lindsay, who explains how she waits till her stomach growls and she actually feels a drop in her blood sugar before she eats. I congratulate myself when I successfully wait for true hunger to eat. Great job, Chantel. You waited until you were physically hungry to eat. Reward yourself with positive self-talk when you make the right decisions. This eating plan is all about when you eat rather than what you eat. Your stomach growl is your signal to start your eating window. You'll train your body to an eating schedule as you continue to do this. If you don't get a growl when you're supposed to, then you know you ate too much at your last meal. It's possible to go 48 hours without a stomach growl when you overeat because you ate too much on your last binge. If you're overweight and a chronic overeater, you might not have a real sense of hunger because you're running on fat and your last meal. Keep the amount of food that you're eating small so that you're hungry the next time you eat. Don't delay your eating window indefinitely if you don't hear a growl. I don't recommend you go longer than 36 hours without eating something small. I found that there's a stigma with people about letting their stomachs growl. Stomach growling is a good thing. Getting hungry is okay. We act like being hungry is the worst thing in the world when it isn't. It's your body's natural signal to eat. Let your body get hungry and then feed it. If you don't hear your stomach growl at least once a day, then Houston, we have a problem. I can't stress this enough. Your first meal of the day doesn't begin until your stomach growls. God designed your body to teach you when it needs food. The sad thing is there are people who have never heard their stomachs growl because they never let themselves get hungry. Every chance they get, they're shoving food in their mouths. You can start your eating window only after your stomach growls, but you still shouldn't eat immediately. This is because you're in fat-burning mode when your stomach growls. That's your time of maximum weight loss potential, and you want to prolong that for a little while. When your stomach first starts to growl, I suggest you have a cup of black coffee or unsweetened iced tea to get you at least an hour past that growl. Recognize true hunger.
Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it.
Let your stomach growl. You want to be at a hunger level 1, stomach is growling, when you eat your first meal of the day. You don't have to wait for your stomach to growl to eat your second meal, but you do need to make sure that you are at least at a level 2, hungry. Learning to wait for your stomach to growl is one of the most important aspects of this entire plan. I even debated naming this book True Hunger or Thin Eater. A thin eater only eats when she's truly hungry. If you put food in front of her, no matter how amazing it is, she won't eat it if she's not hungry. My friend Christy is a perfect example of a thin eater. I've tested her several times with some amazing food. Try this, taste this, I said while putting food in front of her. She responded the same way every time. She told me she wasn't hungry and could save it for later. The term hungry, hungry, hippo, hungry, level 0, came from when I was a kid and I used to love the game Hungry, Hungry Hippos. If you're a millennial or very young, you may not know it. It's a tabletop game for 2 to 4 players, and the object is to eat as many marbles as possible with your toy hippo, and whoever eats the most wins. This is what happens when you let yourself get too hungry. That's hungry. I allow myself to get to a level 0 when I'm on a biblical fast, but I have to control myself and not overeat. Never overeat, even when you're hungry, hungry, hippo, hungry. In this book, you'll learn how to cry out to God and ask Him to remove the urge to run to food and overeat. I only eat when my stomach is growling because that's when I know my body is actually hungry. It's like a fuel gauge on a car. You fill up your car when it hits E, and you eat when your stomach growls. I've learned that thin people wait for the stomach growl because they associate that with true hunger. Emotional eaters eat because they're tired, bored, stressed, or whatever. You want to eat when you're physiologically hungry, not when you're psychologically hungry. In other words, eat when your body is hungry, not just when your brain is hungry. There's a difference between the growl of your stomach digesting your food and the growl of your stomach being empty. When you feel that second growl, be excited. Great job, Chantel. You waited until you were physically hungry to eat. I say things like this to myself to encourage good eating habits. Every time you wait until your stomach growls to eat, you should reward yourself with positive self-talk. You're capable of bypassing your initial hunger pangs and waiting until true hunger to eat. In fact, wait until a couple hours after that growl if you can. The longer you wait to eat, the further you're pressing into that fat-burning zone. You'll eventually train your body to get used to an eating schedule. Mine is noon to 6 p.m. Obviously, I don't always keep that schedule because if I go to a nice dinner, then it's usually going to be after 6 p.m. On those days, I might extend my window to an 8-hour window. Or I might start my window at 2 p.m. with a light snack and be done by 8 or 9. If you're not hearing a growl, then that more than likely means you ate too much at your last meal. It's possible to go as long as 48 hours before reaching stomach hunger when you come off of a binge. Most people never hear their stomach growl simply because they're constantly eating. They never actually reach an empty stomach. Keeping this in mind, you should make smaller meals so that you can reach that point of true hunger. If you eat the right amount of food, you will be hungry when it's time to eat again. It's important to create a habit of getting hungry. All of that being said, if you reach 36 hours without hearing a growl, you should go ahead and eat something small. There's one thing you should avoid when you're eating. Don't drink too much water. Drinking too much water while you're eating your meal can actually dilute your stomach acid and interfere with digestion. You want everything working properly so you can sense hunger and fullness. However, outside of your eating window, you can drink as much or as little as you want. Let your body tell you when it's thirsty, just like when it's hungry. When your body is hungry, eat. When it's thirsty, drink. Rocket science, right? Save your food for later.
Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control.
I was talking to one of my friends about this plan, and she said it would never work for her because her favorite thing in the world is breakfast at Chick-fil-A. If you live on the West Coast, you may not be so familiar with Chick-fil-A, but it's a really good fast food restaurant where I live. Unlike McDonald's, Chick-fil-A only serves breakfast food during morning hours. I reassured her that she didn't have to give up Chick-fil-A breakfast food. She could schedule her eating window to start in the morning when Chick-fil-A was serving breakfast, or she could pick up the food in the morning and save it for when she's ready to start her window. There are times when I've been craving breakfast food all day, so I cook it for dinner for my family. There's no rule that says you can only eat breakfast food at breakfast time. Also, you could eat breakfast and lunch, then skip dinner. Today, I scheduled myself to eat from 12:30 to 6:30 p.m. because I have people coming over for dinner at 5:45. For lunch in my office, we catered from a place I'd been dying to try called Zoe's Kitchen. The food arrived around 11 a.m., so I went and took exactly what I wanted to eat, beef skewers. I made my plate and let it sit on the edge of my desk until 12:30 when I was ready to eat. Then I heated it up and ate it. My naturally skinny friend Christy does that. We have something called Thursday Fun Days when everybody brings food. Christy loves my guacamole. I make the best guacamole in town. After a couple of Thursday Fun Days, I noticed that Christy would take a big scoop of guacamole and stick it in the refrigerator. I was confused about what she was doing. Was she hiding the guacamole? I finally asked her what was going on, and she told me that she was putting the guacamole away until she was hungry. It was a good plan because whenever I bring in guacamole, it goes in 20 minutes. The same thing happened with my lunch today. I took the beef skewers and made my plate early because I wanted to make sure I could have them later. I went to check out the buffet again around the start of my eating window just to see what would have happened if I had waited to fix my plate. Sure enough, only kernels of food were left. Recently, I was on a walk with my friend Stephanie, and she told me she is the heaviest she's been in a long time, about 15 pounds heavier than normal. She told me one of the problems is that she attends two Bible studies a week and some other kind of church function at least once a week. These functions always involve food, and she thinks it's rude not to eat at them. In her mind, she believes that when she goes to someone else's house and the hostess has made food, she shows love and gratitude to that hostess by eating the food. I told her she has a choice. Either eat less at lunch so that when she goes to these functions, she is truly hungry, or not eat at the functions at all and save the food for when she is truly hungry. I told her that food is for fuel, not for showing love. My friend Christy has mastered the art of not eating at functions if she isn't hungry, but still showing gratitude and love for the food. She once was given a dessert by one of her students, but she wasn't hungry at the time. So she told the student, "Thank you so much. I'm not hungry right now, but I cannot wait to take this home and eat it." Then she brought it home and ate it later in the evening, once she was actually hungry, and it was delicious. I told my friend Stephanie that she can practice this same technique at her church functions. She can thank the hostess for the food and then save it and eat it when she's truly hungry, and it will still be showing that hostess love. You have to believe that you can control yourself around food. Recently, I had a breakfast meeting from 10 a.m. to noon. At 10, everyone ordered an 8. I waited until 11:30 and ordered an 8 after everyone else. Even when I got my food, I wasn't hungry. I set it aside for about 20 minutes and ate it later. It's really empowering when you do stuff like that. There are a bunch of times I go to breakfast or lunch and sit with everyone and don't eat. It's fine. Social scenarios. Let me give you a scenario. You have a breakfast date with friends in the morning and then a dinner for work at night. You're committed to a 6-hour window, so there's no way you can eat at both. What do you do? These social scenarios pop up all the time and you have to make a decision. When am I going to eat and when am I going to say no? I went out to breakfast with some friends the other day and I knew I had a dinner to go to that same night. So I chose not to eat at breakfast. I wasn't even hungry, but my friends kept pushing me to eat and telling me, get something small because we hate to eat without you. I put my foot down and refused to eat because 1, I wasn't hungry, and 2, I could sit there without being worried about the pull of food. I was at breakfast to enjoy my friends' company. I could even talk more with them because I wasn't stuffing my face with food. Remember, you can always order food and save it for later. Let's talk about not worth it moments. Let's say you ate from noon to 6 p.m. on a Friday, and later that night, one of your girlfriends invites you out for dinner and drinks. That is a not worth it moment. If you can't handle the temptation, then it's better not to go. If you can, then go and enjoy yourself without food. Have a soda water or something without any calories. Something I like to do is have a glass of soda water with the juice of 5 lemons and 5 limes squeezed in. What is your go-to? One of my favorite things to do is pray before getting on a plane. I say, God, I pray that you would let me sit next to a thin eater so I can pick her brain on what she does for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And inevitably, every time I would get on a plane, I just happened to be sitting next to somebody who was very thin. It would give me the opportunity to ask her, what did you eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and how do you stay thin? The funny thing is, almost every person I ever asked was very, very open in sharing with me how they did it. One of the questions I ask all the thin eaters when I am interviewing them over and over is, do you ever eat food for other reasons besides physical hunger? They reply that food is not their go-to. I have asked several people that, and over they will say, you know, food is not my go-to. I love the way that sounds. Let me clarify what I mean by what is your go-to. It is eating that is motivated by positive and negative feelings rather than hunger. I have also interviewed a lot of people who have struggled with their weight, and what they say to me is, I eat when I'm happy, sad, bored, celebrating special occasions, a holiday, or even out of habit. A lot of times it's not just when people are sad or happy. Food also becomes a reward. Make your go-to something besides food. When people are stressed, what can they do instead of eating? If you run to food when you're happy, sad, or for any other reason besides true hunger, then food is probably your go-to. Here are the things that the thin eaters tell me they go to instead. Top 10 things thin eaters go to. 1. Talk on the phone or go out with a friend or relative. 2. Change their scenery. They may go for a walk. They are not going to stay in the kitchen. 3. Have a glass of wine. 4. Relax by taking a bath or a nap. 5. Read a book. 6. Go to the gym, work out, or take a yoga class. 7. Clean the house. 8. Watch a movie. 9. Read the Bible. 10. Pray. The whole point is that you must find something else in place of snacking or eating when you're not physically hungry. For example, if you're on a diet, you may decide, okay, I'm going to have nothing but veggies and lean meats for a week and nothing else. Then you get a call at work and are completely stressed out, and your first reaction is, I'm stressed, I need to go eat carrots. Even though carrots are healthful, you still have trained your body to go to food, even if you aren't hungry. You must retrain your brain to know that if you aren't physically hungry, you aren't going to eat or snack, even if it's just a carrot stick. If you eat carrots, broccoli, a kale smoothie, or whatever it is every time you're stressed, you might end up losing weight because you are reducing your caloric intake. But you still are training your body to run to food anytime you are feeling a negative emotion. I would say that half of thin eaters reported that their go-to is a glass of wine. With that being said, the people who I interviewed are not alcoholics. They might have a glass or two of wine and aren't doing it every single day. I'm definitely not advocating switching from food to wine, but for my interviews, this was a big go-to, Of course, you must drink wine in moderation. One of my good friends, who wishes to remain anonymous, told me two stories, and I really got a lot out of them. She said that on Saturday night, she went to a friend's 50th birthday party where she didn't know that many people and didn't really like the venue. She also had a headache and felt a little out of sorts, so she started drinking wine. Now, I believe everyone has a natural go-to when they're stressed. For many people, their go-to is food. When they feel stressed or sad or any sort of strong emotion, they turn to food. My friend said her go-to is a glass of wine. Thin eaters do not use food as their go-to. When thin eaters feel negative emotions, they don't turn to food. They channel their emotions into other things like working out or creativity. Control yourself, not the food. If you are a healthy thin, someone without health issues, you should have the mantra, I need to control myself, not the food. If you are letting food and everything about it control your every thought, then you are basically worshiping food. Instead of trying to control the food, control yourself. If you are healthy and try to eat too clean, you're likely going to end up gaining weight. However, if you are sick and eat clean, it isn't because you are trying to control the food to lose weight. It is because you have a food allergy and sensitivity. The key is to ask yourself why you are controlling the food and if you are truly sick. Now, with that being said, we are still talking about real food. If you do have a food allergy or sensitivity, then you must create some boundaries that are necessary. It's hard to know if something is a food allergy or something is a food sensitivity. So here are some common symptoms of food intolerances: headaches, bloating, mucus buildup, stomach aches, brain fog, hives, psoriasis, eczema, and fatigue. Now let's talk about enzymes. Due to different toxins in the body, stress, and medications, people are missing enzymes needed to digest their foods fully. For example, my husband is lactose intolerant, which means he doesn't have the enzyme that breaks down lactose, milk sugar, in the stomach. So when he eats dairy, he gets bloated, has diarrhea, and massive gas. The gas is instantaneous, so what he should do is take an enzyme to help with breaking down the lactose or avoid it altogether. There are a couple of things that make me feel awful when I eat them. I limit those foods so that I can feel my best instead. Quote God's word when you want to eat, but you're not hungry.
Matthew 4:4 NIV. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Feasting on God's word. You're going to experience great challenges as you desire to eat while you're fasting. You have to know how to fight temptations when they come. We're going to talk about fighting temptation in detail later in this section. But first, I want you to understand just how important God's word is to the success of your fast.
Psalms 119:103 NIV. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I particularly love this verse because, if you haven't noticed by now, I love sweets. I want you to take this verse and substitute honey for whatever your weakness is. Is it cake, brownies, pizza? Whatever it is that tempts you, use this scripture to declare your love for God's word over that food. God, I love your words. They are sweeter than ice cream to my mouth, sweeter than chocolate cake, sweeter than bread. Substitute the word of God in place of the food. Suddenly this verse takes on a new meaning because you're feasting on God's word. Speaking his word is the best tasting treat you could ever have. You have to change your mindset because most people don't say, you know what I'd love to have right now? A big dose of Psalms. I am really craving a big taste of Proverbs right now. I think I'm going to stop this car and read the book of Matthew right this second. I want it so bad that I can't even stand it, right? We want to get to the point that we understand that running to food for the answers makes things worse. Turning to anything besides God to fill a void is the wrong answer. Human beings fill their voids with all kinds of vices: gambling, drinking, drugs, illicit sex, and more.